May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The word epiphany really means to reveal, to manifest, to reveal. And Jesus lived in the reality of epiphany. Epiphany is a day, but the season called the season of epiphany or the season after the epiphany, a lot of the scriptures, a lot of the teachings concentrate on the earthly ministry of Jesus and what he revealed and manifested. And the scriptures that Bracken read says that Jesus' chief priority was to reveal the true nature of God, the true nature of the Father. It says in John chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "No man has seen God at any time, but I have come to reveal him, to make him clear, to make it plain what he's like." And so throughout all the Gospels, and it's really just emphasized over and over again in the Gospel of John, Jesus just over and over again reveals the truth about God. But he also, in doing that, reveals the truth and the purpose and the real identity of man, that we are created as men and women to reveal the truth about God. And the truth about God is that God is good, God is love. This place in 1 John, this is 1 John chapter 5, really familiar to all of you, or John chapter 4, I'm sorry. This is verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God experientially. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And by this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a sacrifice for our sins." Interesting, it doesn't say that God has love. It says that God is love. It's who he is. And it's how he lives and has lived throughout all of eternity. The fact that God's true nature is love is one of the great evidences of the doctrine of the Trinity. See, when he talks about God being love, then he talks about what love looks like, how he gave himself as propitiation for our sins, his only Son. And you go and read that chapter, it's about sacrificial servant love, giving away. It's about others. And so the Trinity, the wonders of the Trinity is that God is one being, one substance. There's only one God, but he lives as three persons. And you can't wrap your head around that, so don't worry about it, but just let your spirit wrap around that. But God is very communal. He's very, very social. And so the fact that God is love, you have to have someone else to be who you are. And so the three persons of the Trinity have lived in perpetual mutual love towards each other throughout eternity. And God created us to be in his image and reveal his likeness and to ultimately to manifest the truth of who he is, that he's a God of love. God lives, again, it's who he is, it's how he lives, and in relationship with other persons within the Trinity and beyond that. And so when Jesus said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father," he was just reminding them of what was declared about him in John 1:18, that all the things that you've seen me do, the healing of the nobleman's son, the conversation with Nicodemus, the going out of my way when everybody wanted to heap praises on me, to just to be with this woman by the well, this Samaritan woman who'd been married 5 times, was now living with a man, all the things that the man who was for 38 years was crippled, all that was to manifest the true nature of God, that God is love. And then he says here in that 1 John passage, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. By this love was manifested that God sent his own Son." Not that we love, he loved us first. And it's like the Lord knew, of course he knew, that our hope as humanity wasn't about how many sacrifices we can make for God, but about God's willingness to make the ultimate sacrifice for us. And in believing that and receiving that reality, we're transformed. See, that's why at the cross, when Jesus said, "It's finished," and he said, "I thirst," when he wasn't first declaring that he was thirsty physically, he was revealing God's heart for humanity. It was the thirsting heart. Mother Teresa talks about that, the infinite thirst of the love of God to see humanity made whole. And when Jesus said it's finished, he wasn't just again saying sins are paid for. In the Spanish version, the word for that "it is finished" is everything. Another translation is perfect. And what Jesus was saying is perfect. We've done everything. It's finished. We've completely revealed the true nature of the heart of God by me hanging here on the cross. Having suffered all that I suffered, without lifting my hand in one moment to strike back, because mankind needed to see our sins were paid for, but they also needed to see manifest the true nature of God's love. That God is driven by a heart of servant, sacrificial love. Well, the other thing that Jesus did, he didn't just reveal the true nature of God, he revealed the true calling of man. Because the very next verse, in verse 10, he says, "The works that I do, I'm not doing them. It's the Father who's doing the works through me." And Jesus said, what Jesus was saying, as we've talked about many times before, Jesus was always God, but he was also always man. And he laid down his right to live as God, and he lived as man to reveal us as second Adam what mankind was created to be like, how we were created to live. And Jesus was saying, this is your calling. Jesus wasn't just an example for us. He was an example of us. He was the first model of new creation. It says he was the first born from the dead. And Jesus revealed, "You're just as I've allowed the Father through me by the Holy Spirit to live a life of servant love, you're called to allow me by the Holy Spirit to live a life of servant love through you." And it's a miraculous life. Because it's in the context of servant love that miracles happen. Over and over again, it says that Jesus was moved with compassion and then did a miracle to change a person's life, set them free from the works of the devil. To love fallen people is the most miraculous thing of all, isn't it? The ones that live in the same house with you. Because our fallenness wants to be selfish and withdraw and protect and draw boundaries. All those I've always got so tickled at that. Christians, "Well, God just called me to draw boundaries." I'm thinking, you really need to be eternally grateful he didn't do that with you. What kind of boundaries? To protect yourself? Miracles happen in that context. And there was only one explanation for the life that Jesus lived, and that was the life of the Father by the Holy Spirit in him. And the life that he lived manifested the likeness of the Father. There's only one explanation for the Christian life we're called to live, and that's the life of Jesus who lives in us, who is God. That's who he is, and that's how he lives. And that's what we're called to. "Just as the Father sent me," Jesus said, "so send I you." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And when humanity encounters Christians, that should be what comes out of their mouth. "God so loves the world that he sent Bracken and Amelia and Rosalind and Chuck and Paul." It's the same. It just continues until the whole world's redeemed. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.